I often find that people are surprised to learn that there's a national park in Springfield and Hartford. And I think that's one of the interesting things about this particular assignment. These little historic gems seem to be hidden away from most everybody. So often local people will be surprised when they see me in uniform, and ask, "Well, where's there a national park around here?" And really these treasures in people's backyard need to be better known.
What can you do to make them better known? That was part of your job here during the last
Yeah.
6 years, right?
We have worked hard to try to raise the profile of the park. And to some extent, we've been moderately successful. We've increased visitation about 30 or 40%. We've gotten ourselves more involved in the media and local, local partners. So we have seen an increase in visitation. However, our visitation now is about 26,000 per year, which is one of the lowest in the National Park Service. So I think there's work to do for the next superintendent.
What constitutes the national park here in Springfield? Obviously, the armory, the Springfield Armory, a national historical site, first armory in the United States, is the centerpiece. But what else is here?
So the Springfield Armory National Historic Site commemorates and preserves the National Armory that was established here in 1794 and lasted through the Vietnam War. When the Vietnam War concluded, and in 1968, and the U.S. government decided to close the armory down in 1968, then there was this question: what do we do with the site? So eventually, the entire hill shops that we're in was made part of the National Park system. However, the National Park Service only owns a third of that site, and that's where you find the National Park Museum. The rest of the site, which includes about 60 structures, is owned by the state of Massachusetts and is primarily run as Springfield Technical Community College. However, STIC is part of the national park, and so we work with them as legislated partners to preserve this site in its entirety. And then outside of the boundaries, there are actually remnants of the Springfield Armory that are not included in the boundaries. Like the water shops are probably the most important example. And we try to work with partners to ensure those important parts of our history are saved also.
So what can the public actually visit when they come here?
Well, so they can certainly come and they can go to the museum and see the firearms collection. The Benton Small Arms Collection has about 10,000 firearms. About 15% of those are on display. It's one of the most important firearms collections in the world, and so that's available. There are ranger guided tours, and also you can walk around the site. Even the part of it that it's not owned by the National Park Service is open to the public, and so you can go wander around. So, for example, we're standing on the parade ground right now, looking across at a building that was constructed in 1808 that is now used as a police academy. And so the public can come and they can look at these beautiful old structures and learn about their history.
And there have been quite a few improvements that have been made to the grounds here during the last few years.
There has been a lot of work that has happened over the last 5 years. In fact, talking to my colleagues at Springfield Technical Community College, we estimate that about $70 million has been invested in the site over the last 5 years. And about $10 million of that has been invested by the National Park Service. And we've done all kinds of projects that have rehabbed things on our side, including rehabilitating the historic landscaping. On the STIC side of the campus, there have been several prominent buildings that have been restored, Building 5 and 6, Building 11. Probably the most important and interesting is Building 19, which is known as the Long Storehouse. This is a building that is as long as a football field that had been abandoned in 1968 and was rapidly deteriorating. The STIC has done a big historic rehabilitation project, and that is going to become the historic or the administrative center for the college. And that project alone is about $35 million for rehab and about $50 million in total, because there's other costs to move the campus administration over there.
The Long Building, was there a firing range in there at one time, or is that, am I thinking of something else?
No, the Long Storehouse was actually where they stored the walnut for the wood. So in the early days, the walnut had to be brought to the armory and stored for a couple of years. So that Long Storehouse was where they store the wood. And a lot of locals remember it as a place where horses were kept by the local police department. So it was used for different things. As for firing ranges, there were over 20 firing ranges on site, and many of those are still preserved. And below the Long Storehouse, there is actually three historic firing ranges from World War I and World War II that are still preserved down there.
You mentioned the sister property that you also oversee in Hartford. What's there?
So we manage two parks under this administrative unit, and the second one is called Coltsville National Historical Park. That park was authorized in 2014, and it is not yet established as an official unit. There's work that we're working on to make that a unit of the National Park Service, but that will happen soon. And essentially, that site is where Sam Colt and then later his wife Elizabeth developed an industrial factory that made the Colt 45, which was one of the most prominent firearms manufacturers in the country. And associated with that, they built a little community there that's known as Coltsville. And so preserved today are two neighborhoods of worker housing that still exist. There's a church and a parish house that Elizabeth Colt built for the workforce. There is the Colt family mansion that's called Armsmere, which in the 19th century was one of the most elaborate houses in the country. There's a little neighborhood of managers' housing that's been preserved. And then the old Colt family estate is now Colt Park. And like Springfield Armory, Coltsville is a partnership park. So the National Park Service is only going to own a couple of buildings, and that will be our park visitor center. But there, unlike in Springfield, where we only have one major partner, the state of Massachusetts, in Hartford, we literally have dozens of partners. So that one has been quite interesting and fun to set up.
You came here from an assignment in Europe, correct? And now you're off to Nevada. So in between, what do you think of your time in Springfield?
Oh, I loved our time in Springfield. Yeah, I mean, we went from France, and now we're going to the Great Basin Desert in Nevada. And frankly, that's what I love about the National Park Service, is we get to live in all these really interesting, unusual places. And so for me, a boy who grew up in the Mojave Desert in California, to come to the center of machining and precision manufacturing in America in the 19th century, Springfield, Hartford, and kind of live in these old factory cities, I really love the history, the industrial history. And so to be able to come here and do at least a little bit to protect the history of these sites has been an honor and a privilege.